Today we're reading from Judges 6, verses 11 to 24. And as you all know, it's page 248. So we're starting at verse 11 in chapter 6. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abarzite. I get the Greek words. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all that happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our father told us about when he said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from the ephah, a flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abarzites. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning's word. I pray that you open our hearts and our minds, that we can hear what you want to say to us this morning. Bless us now, in your name, amen. So nice to be with you all this morning. It has been quite some time since I've been here. And as Chris mentioned, I've just finished my first year doing ordained local ministry. Thankfully, I have passed all my modules and I got a good review back on my first placement. So that's really good fun. And I'm looking forward to starting my second year on the 17th of August. So this morning, because we're talking about calling, I'd like to share a little bit about myself. Not too much, so I won't bore you. So on my dad's side, we've got a really big family. I've 22 cousins. My cousins now all have children. So that makes roughly about 50 of us, and that's just my cousins. So I'm from a big family. And growing up, we used to spend a lot of time visiting my granny, who stayed in Ferneyside Crescent. And I remember us all getting together for various family events, weddings, christenings, or really just going round and visiting granny on a sandwich to get the best plate of sandwiches and watch Tom and Jerry cartoons. But many years ago, I was at a christening for one of my cousins. And I was talking to my gran. Now, at this point, there was only 19 of us, so just a few less than there is now. And I was dressed in my usual unique way. I had a camouflage long skirt on that had strings that came off of it. And on the end of each of the strings, there was probably about eight of them, there was red fluffy pom-poms. This is down at one of the cathedrals in the centre of town, and I'm cutting about in that. So as I'm talking to my gran, she wasn't impressed with me. And I don't blame her. It's maybe not to everybody's taste. But she did say to me, I have 19 grandchildren, and up until now, I didn't think any of them were duds. And she looked me up and down as if to say, until now. I didn't take offence, not too much. It's quite a harsh comment, I think, but it didn't bother me. I had to laugh because I went to a christening with pom-poms. But I've always had my own unique sense of style. I was talking to Eck, my husband, this week about what I was like in my teens, my early teens. And it hadn't changed. I was probably about 19 at that time when I wore my crazy skirt. So when I was at school, instead of wearing a uniform, I wore my cherry red Doc Martens, my red tartan baggy hammer pants style trousers, and a white polo shirt. And one day I bumped into the assistant head teacher in the halls, and he asked me if I was at gym class. And I said no. And he was a lovely man. He chuckled, and he said to me, I think maybe you should start wearing proper school uniform as of now. To which I kind of did. But anyway, I was a weird kid. And I think as an adult, I'm still kind of weird. But I felt God calling me to ministry. And it was a bit odd to think that he picks me. The freaky kid from high school, whose gran who thought she was a dud, whose parents' friends thought she was a bit wild and too loud. But really, the last person that I would have even have thought would have been called to be a minister. But because I grew up hearing these things, I think I agreed with them maybe slightly. But also, in line with my character, it didn't stop me from trying. So I've gone for it. And now I'm heading into my second year, and I'm really enjoying it, all of it. The studying, I'm loving exploring my faith and getting to ask hard questions, looking deeper into what it all means. And I'm loving to get to explore my gifts. I enjoy preaching. I've always been good at giving presentations. It was the only thing in English that I was ever getting good grades for. And it continued on into university for being a strong point for me. But the thing that I find really interesting is my friends who I know now, and I talk to them about what I'm doing, Christians and non-Christians alike. Their comments are so different from the ones that I'm used to getting from my family and people around me from when I was younger. These people say that they get it. They see in me things that make sense for why I would follow this path. They see things in me that I didn't even know was there. And they see them as obviously as the colour of my hair. And so does God. And so who am I to argue with that? Gideon felt totally inadequate to the call. His reply to the angel of the Lord was, "But I am the least of my family. And not only that, my family is the least of our tribe." In my mind, what he was saying was, "Are you mad? Look at me. I'm the awkward, freaky-looking kid that everyone thinks is a dud." Maybe for you, that statement is translated to, "Are you mad? I'm the youngest person here with no training or skills." Or, "Are you mad? I'm the oldest person here and I'm set in my ways." "Are you mad? I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm not smart enough, I don't have enough money, I'm disabled," or any other number of things that we've been told by people over the years, or worse still, that we tell ourselves. Gideon was hiding while he was thrashing wheat, so he wasn't a brave guy. It was just a normal, everyday job that he was doing. In fact, his family may even have had servants that should have been doing that job. So he wasn't highly positioned, and he was doing the work of a laborer or a servant. He was working under very stressful circumstances. He was hiding because just in case the Midianites came and raided, as they had done in the past, they would have taken the wheat and maybe killed him. So they were starving, and they'd been in this situation for about 7 years. He wasn't living the high life in luxury or even stress-free. In fact, his life was so below good living that when the angel of the Lord said to him, "The Lord is with you," Gideon questioned whether, in fact, the Lord was with him. How many times in your life do you feel family burdens? The pressure of family burdens, that your job is rubbish, that you're in a stressful situation, and someone walks up to you and says, "Don't worry, God is with you." It's that point that you're just like, "Oh, come on." You could do without these people sometimes. You couldn't see them far enough when they say stuff like that. But then to top it all off, you're told that God is calling you. You. And it's the last thing you need. Your life turned on its head, an extra stress, another job. Have you ever had the thought, that little flicker in your brain, that there was something else you'd like to do? To try a new passion, to follow something new, a new hobby, take it to a new level, to join a new group. Or even better, start a new group. To study a new skill or go back into learning. Then you have that thought and you shut it down fast. When would you have the time to do that? I run my own business and I have done for a while now. And my brother-in-law works for me. And I've had an eye on a few courses that I'd like to send him on. But do you know what's hard? Is trying to find the time when I wouldn't miss him for a few days, because he's great at his job. It's mad, I know, and I do tell him this. But the other thing I'm finding now is the great urgency to spend that time and money on developing him, on wanting to show him how important he is to me and my business. So I've made it my goal that in the next 12 months, I'm going to send him on a course. I want to see him grow and develop, and hopefully continue to enjoy working with me. Now, if that's my brother-in-law, and that's how I feel about him working with me, I can imagine the feeling of those of you who are parents. And that must be doubled or trebled when you think of your children, to see their skills and talents being used and flourish. And I believe it's the same for God. I believe God looks at us and sees the huge potential that's in each of us in doing something wonderful for his kingdom and for his people. Yours will look different from mine. I'm training to be a minister, but I know that it'll look nothing like what John Young is doing. For starters, I won't have a parish. I'll work for Presbytery. John is in full time, and I'll be part time. So I can't compare myself to John or anyone else for that matter. Kay Haggerty, that some of you might know, is my study buddy on the path that I'm on. And I must admit, it's amazing doing this together with her. And I have to think that the grades that I'm getting is purely down to her encouragement and her determination. Because I want to study with her and do well. Kay is also doing Ordained Local Ministry, or OLM, and I know from chatting to her that our callings are different despite us being on the exact same path and studying to be in the exact same field. But what truly is smashing about doing this together is having her there with me. In May, when we had our exams to sit, we'd sit at our desks at home, Kay and hers, me and mine, and we'd call each other just before we'd sign into the online portal for doing the exam. We'd say a prayer, and we'd agree to call as soon as we were finished. And then go over what we'd done and just regroup. So doing this with Kate is amazing, and it feels so much better than doing this on my own. Knowing God is with us as well makes a huge difference. We pray that everything is in God's hand. And for every essay and for every exam that we sit, if that's where our journey stops, we know God's in control, and that's a great feeling. So let me assure you, though, I didn't know how confident I'd be about saying this if I didn't have the support of Kay and others. On my own, I tend to be a bit of a worrier and a bit of a panicker. So I try to imagine how Gideon felt when at the point of in this passage, it was no longer the angel of the Lord speaking to him, but it was the Lord speaking to him when he said, "I will be with you." This phrase is so simple, but spoken by God to his people over and over. It's spoken to us today. And as the song said that we sang, "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you." I get the feeling that sometimes it's easier to sing the song than it is to mean it. Why not? The tune's catchy and the actions are infectious. No, no, no. And when you sing the song, you maybe sing it because it's good fun, because I'm walking in faith and victory. Or were you really singing it from the depths of your heart? For the Lord your God is with you. I didn't sing that part, it's too high, I'd be squeaky. And it might be the case that you sang it from your heart today. Maybe because it's a Sunday, and maybe you're here with everyone, and the kids were singing lovely, and the adults were just smashing. But this week, if that song pops into your head, how are you going to feel about it then? God called Gideon, not because he was the best, most talented person in the world, but because he saw the potential in him. God called me, not because I'm a dud in my grand's eyes, but because I have potential. And I find that terrifying. Even as I say it out loud, my mind thinks of 30 other people that I think that could do what I do better. That the people are better than me. People like yourselves may look up to them more than you look up to me, or I look up to them more than I look up to other people, that they're better educated, that they're financially better off than me. They maybe have nicer houses or gardens, although mine's is looking spiffy because we've just had it done up. But because in my mind, somehow all that matters. In my mind, somehow it matters more than what God sees in me. Because I have the advantage of being able to look at myself really close, like those scary mirrors that you get on sort of like beauty counters. Not that I'm like trolling beauty counters or anything. But those ones that when you look at them, they're terrifyingly zoomed in. They're unhuman. They're unnatural. They show your flaws and inadequacies. That's what it feels like when I look at myself, when I think about my calling. I look so close, I see the sin, the flaws, the inadequacies. And when I do that, I freak out. I doubt the sanity of what I'm doing. But I also hear the still small voice that says, "It's okay, I'm with you." So I try to avoid the unnaturally frightening Zoom mirrors. Is it really distorts your perception. It's the equivalent of only ever looking at yourself in a funhouse mirror. You really start to think you are that wobbly person. I was reading one of the books that Chris gave me to do with the passage, and I liked what one of the authors said about Gideon's fear at the end of the verses. To Western Christians today, we don't seem to understand that the fear that Gideon had when he realized this was God talking to him, the fear was so intense that he thought he was going to die. The advantage of our New Testament knowledge is the viewpoint that it allows us to have to show us a loving God who sent his son to save us. The fear that Gideon had was right. We should fear God, but not just in that I'm scared way, but in a respectful way that maybe seems a little bit odd and strange for the culture today. We should also remember that God sent his son to save us. So the fear we have should be one of anticipation. That fearful excitement of what new thing may just be round the corner. God calls each of us in many different and wonderful ways. In our weakness and strength, he sees a powerful potential for good things to come out of them. He's not going to leave us to do it on our own either. The path is wide enough to fit God, and likely others that you'll find heading in the same direction as you, even if it's just for a short time. His strength is ours. So let any fear that you might have this morning that could possibly be the thing that puts you and turns you and turns that puts you off and turns it into and turn it into fearful anticipation of what those next exciting steps are. And that could be life-changing. So now we're going to lift up the offering. And as it's being done, we're going to sing hymn 215, Here I Am, Lord. And I pray this morning that as we sing it, this becomes a positive response to any call that you feel that God is putting on your heart.